This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. Hello, hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thanks for coming on to the show. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you really good. I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties over here, so I do apologize for that.
No, no problem. No problem. I know how it is.
Again, I want to say thank you for coming on to the show. I know thousands of people probably reach out to you on a regular, ask you to come on their podcast. So I want to tell you live on air, thank you for coming on to this show this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to get right into it. Whenever someone is on the show for the first time, I like to get their backstory, okay? So how did you get involved in professional wrestling? How did that come about? and what made you a fan of wrestling and what made you become a wrestler?
So I've been a big fan. Sorry if you hear my kids running around in the background.
I've been a big fan
of wrestling since I was, I must have been like 11 or 12 years old, since I was a little kid. Yeah. And my plan was always, I was a football player growing up. And like my dad was a football player. He played professionally for a little bit. So he's actually, this is the Detroit station, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my dad's from Flint, so I got a lot of family down in Detroit. It was actually cool to go back up there a couple of months ago. But sorry, I'm getting off track.
Nice, that's cool, that's cool.
Yeah, so my plan always since I was a little kid was I was going to play football and then I was going to try and be a wrestler. After I discovered wrestling, I was like, oh yeah, I could do this. This is sick. This is what I'm all about because football is a little bit more narrow in the, you know, the track you can take it. You just play the game, and that's kind of what you do. I'm a bit more of a creative guy. I was always into art, theater, and all that. So I was like, this perfectly is a perfect combination of, you know, being an athlete and also being, you know, 6'8" and creative. So I was like, I fell in love with it right then and there, and I wanted to get into it. So fast forward a few years, I played in the NFL for a bit and had to stop because of a knee injury. And as soon as I decided that I wasn't going to pursue football anymore, I was able to make contact with Booker T in Houston when I was actually drafted to the Texans in 2012. And I used to go to their indie shows over at the Reality of Wrestling. And I couldn't think of anybody better to train me for a WWE tryout. So I called him up right away. I was like, hey, Book, can you train me? I got a tryout set up in a couple months. He was like, yeah, kid, I got you. And I flew down there, lived down there for about 8 months, learned to wrestle, tried out, got to WWE. So it worked out pretty good.
Wow. Hey, that's a success story if you ask me. What was that transition like going from football to pro wrestling? Was that a difficult transition? Was that an easy transition? Was it not that bad? Like, what was that transition like? If I can get my words out of my mouth.
Yeah. So the weird thing about it is, and from all my friends and even my dad, when you stop playing football, like I've been playing football since I was 7 years old. So it was all I've ever done. It's all I've ever really worked for up until that point. So the bigger thing was less the change between two different things and just a change from the thing that I did my entire life.
Right.
So it was actually kind of liberating. I was really excited and I didn't really, like I said, I kind of pivoted. Like I think the second I was let go from the Patriots, I was like, yeah, I'm gone. I think I might've left for Houston the next week. So I didn't have time to kind of dwell on it. I was in the ring probably a week later. And like physically, it's a different animal. Like you kind of get you. It's obviously a physical activity, and I always compared it to like when I was a kid, and I'd play football, and then I'd go to basketball season. It's just like I feel like I'm in good football shape, but I wasn't in basketball shape.
Yeah.
So running the ropes is a different animal. You know, taking bumps is a different animal and all that. So it physically it's different. Mentally, I think if you approach it like an athlete, you approach it like somebody who wants to perfect your craft. And if you are an athlete for that matter, then I think it really, I wouldn't say it's come easy to me or anything like that. I don't think I'm anywhere near done in my growth as a professional wrestler in my 4 years in the business, but very happy with, you know, what I've been able to do in the short time that I've been doing it.
Awesome, awesome. We're talking to I don't know how to address you. Can I address you as Brennan Williams? Or would you like
to? You can call me Brennan. You can call me Dio. I do Twitch streams. I actually got one tonight at twitch.tv/greatblackotaku, and everybody always is like, oh, I don't know what to call it. It's like, just call me whatever you feel like. It doesn't matter.
Well, we're talking to Brennan Williams, so we know him as a D.O. Madden from the WWE. Now, many of us, we really know you, not just for your wrestling that I'm going to get back into, but commentating. How did you get involved in commentating on 205 Live and commentating on Raw? How did that happen? How did that come about for you?
Completely by accident. So down here in Orlando, that's where I live and where the Performance Center is and where kind of our developmental system is based, as I'm sure you guys know. We don't just train the wrestlers here. We train the refs. We train, future commentators and future ring announcers, and all of that is here. So good buddy of mine, Johnny LaQuasto, who used to work for WWE a few months ago, he was doing commentary, and there was nobody else down here to do commentary with. He was just the only guy down here training for it. So he didn't have anybody to work with, so... me being a good friend, I'm just a all around good dude. I went in there and I was like, "Hey man, I'll call some main event 205 matches with you. It's fine, whatever." So we'd go over to the studio that they have set up for them, and we'd just call some matches, and then called some matches, and somehow that got out to somebody. Somebody listened to it, and somebody was like, "Oh no, he's fine," and. I think at the time it was Paul Heyman who was running Raw, and he liked me, I think just in general from dealing with me in a couple of promo classes or something like that, or he liked the idea of me or something like that. So when they found, I think he might have made the suggestion. I think they wanted a new look and a new kind of feel for Raw. And when they got my tapes, they were like, "Oh yeah, no, he's good. We can train him up." So it happened. It was a whirlwind, man. Like I got a text from Vic, Vic Joseph, who would be my partner, and he's doing NXT now. And he was like, "Hey man, they want you to shoot some stuff." I was like, "Okay, cool." So I shot like an interview thing, like a pre-show thing with Caleb Braxton. I was like, "I don't know what this is for." And then I text him. I'm like, "Hey, man, what is this for?" And he's like, "I'm not allowed to tell you." I was like, "Well, just tell me because I don't really feel like dealing with this." And he's like, "Yeah." And this was before 205 or any of that. He was like, "Yeah, they want you to be on the commentary team with me for Monday Night Raw." I was like, "Oh, okay." So I dove in head first. I trained real hard for a couple of weeks and made my live commentary debut on 205, did a month there, and then did Raw for was alive on Monday Night Raw maybe a month into my commentary career, which was pretty crazy. Not what I signed up for when I when I wanted to be a pro wrestler, but I was like, whatever,
Wow, that's a great backstory on that. I'm not a controversial interviewer, but I do want to ask a question because I've seen you in on Raw Underground. I believe I saw you a couple weeks ago on Raw Underground, and I want to get into that. But
I did pop up there.
and you don't have to elaborate on this next question, but many of us want to thank you for standing up to Brock Lesnar. What was that like? Is there still some unfinished business with Lesnar?
As I'm still here, as long as I'm still in this company, I think there's going to be unfinished business with Brock. See, I guess when you talk about Raw Underground, I seem to have problems with guys who went to college in Minnesota. Like, it's between Brock and Shelton. It's just it's my kryptonite. Because otherwise I'm a pretty strong, tough dude. But as soon as I step into the ring or face to face with somebody who went to school in Minnesota, all of a sudden I can't do anything.
The beauty of kayfabe.
No, I thought that was such a cool, very cool moment. They told me that day, they were like, "Hey, you're gonna do this segment with Brock." I was like, "Okay." Kind of. Honestly, that's like the story of my commentary career, is them telling me some just wild stuff and me just being like, "All right, let's do it." And they said, "Yeah, he's gonna bump you through the table." And I was like, "Cool." He's like, "You know how to take a bump?" I was like, "Yeah, I've been training for a little bit." So getting to work with Brock, it's a whole nother level. He's a real special guy. And actually the funniest thing about that was he walks up to me when we're kind of going over the segment, and he's like, "So we're doing a little bit of business." I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." He's like, "So I do this move called the F5. And I'm like, he's like, "It's a fireman's carry, and I flip you over my shoulder, and it's just a belly button." I was like, "Bro, you don't need to explain to me what an F5 is. I've been watching you since I was 12.
Everybody knows what an F5 is.
Yeah, everybody. My mom knows what an F5 is. Like, you don't need to explain to me what an F5 is. Just tell me how to make it easy for you so you can get my big self up on your shoulders."
Exactly.
He didn't need the help. He's pretty strong.
Exactly. Now, you are currently with NXT, right?
Yes, currently with NXT. Currently still in Orlando.
Okay. Do you have any... Actually, there's so many rumors out there. You can't believe everything you hear on social media. And I'm pretty sure you won't answer this question, but you do know that you are, there's a rumor that you are a part of some group, a new faction that's going on. I don't think you can elaborate.
Yeah, I heard that rumor. I don't know how people can see through all that stuff.
But we can go on record and say you might not be a part of that group.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do anything like that, so.
Absolutely. All right, moving right along. What do you want your legacy to be like when it's all said and done as a professional wrestler? How do you want people to perceive you in the square circle?
Man, honestly, I'm so young into this. Like, I think I said it once on Twitter or something. I was like, "Man, I just want to be a TV wrestler that people know and see." Like,
right.
I got, my goals aren't super lofty yet, but I'm like, "Man, I just, you know, I work real hard at this. I really love this. I want people to see my art. I want to see people see me, or I want people to be able to see me do my thing. I just want to be able to do that." And, I think, as I've kind of figured out what I want to do in this business in WWE, my thought process is always just like, you know, this is a crazy job. It's a way cooler job than I ever would have thought that I guess I played in the NFL too, but that was cool. But, it's even weirder than that. Like, it's like, I get to go and, fight people in my underwear in front of, you know, thousands of people all the time. And that's like, who gets to do that? So I just want to be able to go out there and do that and let people see it. That's, and just enjoy it. Live in those moments where I get to actually be out in that ring.
Awesome. And how do you handle the attention? You know, obviously, I hit you up. Other people probably hitting you up to come on their show or do interviews and this, that, and the third. How do you handle the attention that you receive being in the public eye? Because me doing this little podcast, sometimes I have to take a step back and tell myself I'm still a human. You know, I'm not. People hear me on the radio, but I'm still a human. So how do you deal with the attention?
Well, I've been in this weird situation where I've kind of been in some sort of, to a lesser degree, public eye since I was in high school as a kid. You know, even as a recruited high school football player, I could look up my name and I'd be on like a website or like the local football players website or football discussion website. And then it got bigger when I went to college. It got bigger when I went to the NFL. And it's still, you know, growing as I branch out and go into different avenues of YouTube, streaming, wrestling, all of that. So I've literally received training for it. So that's a big part of it. But, it's just, you know, I'm a dude with a wife and three kids. And I just have to remember that all the time when,
right,
I go out and I get to do all these cool things.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I promise you, I won't keep you long, but could you talk about your Twitch stream and what that's all about?
Yeah, for sure. I do video game streams and I do a podcast like you guys on twitch.tv/greatblackotaku. I get that plug in all the time. We go live every Thursday at 9 and kind of randomly throughout. And it's just actually my wife convinced me to do it. She was like, hey, if you want to sit like playing video games all the time, then you might as well make some money off of it. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. A few years ago, I kind of got into it. I brought a couple of my friends and coworkers into it, and it's a blast. It's a whole new world, and I really enjoy it. I like I've worked really hard to kind of get like a setup. I'm talking to you right now in my office that I've really built for it at this point, and it's cool because it's a thing that's rolling, and a lot of people are digging it. So I really enjoy doing it every week.
Wow. I gotta check that out tonight. Actually, once I get finished talking to you, I'll definitely check that out. Do you have time to take a question from one of our listeners? Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, no, it's fine.
All right, I'm gonna bring Lee on. He has a question for you. Lee, you on the air?
How you doing? How you doing, Ms. Dio?
Hey, how you doing, man?
You know, it's a funny thing. Last time I saw you, sir, all due respect, you were trying to defend Mr. Lawler, and you got put in your place, if you will, by a certain Brock Lesnar. It's been a while. How you been, man?
Man, I've been good. You know, the thing about that is when I stood up to Brock, everybody saw. You know, that was the talk of the town, that this freaking commentator is every bit as big, if not bigger, than Brock Lesnar. And guess what? He caught me off guard, and that's fine. But he hasn't seen me since. And next time he does see me, then we might have some issues.
Well, if you haven't heard, there's a thing called Raw Underground. So next time Brock's there, next time you're there, I'm just saying, you know, since both of y'all are there, I'm just saying, you know.
Man, I'm just, you know, honestly, I'm just glad that that – all WWE taping has moved to Orlando so he's not going to be able to escape me whether I'm there or not.
All right. Thank you, Lee, for that question. So it sounds like you're ready. You're ready for whatever. If the beast shows up and tries to attack you,
I've been clanging and banging. I've been working. I'm in the best shape of my life. I think I've put on completely changed my body composition since I was doing commentary a year ago. So, you know, I'm in fighting shape.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that match you had on NXT. I forgot who was against, but man, you really dominated that match and you look good. Look really good.
Thank you.
No problem. Out of respect to you, before we let you go, because I know we're only working with a short amount of time, is there anything you want to say before I let you go, Mr. Matt?
Honestly, please check out my Twitch stream tonight if you're listening. I love new visitors. I love new viewers. I promise you, you'll have a good time. It's just a couple of friends. We talk crap about each other and talk crap about everything in the world. So it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Hey, please, if you get a moment, send me that link via email, and I'll check your Twitch out tonight. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, just send me your link to the Twitch so I can check it out tonight.
I'll drop you an email right after we talk.
Awesome. But I want to take this final moment to say thank you for coming on again. You know, I really appreciate you carving out time for me and for this show and for this platform. I know you get your husband, your father, and your professional wrestler, but I want to thank you for coming on this show. Right here from Detroit, sir. So thank you.
Well, man, thanks for having me. Anything for Detroit.
That's what's up. We need it down here.
Yeah. I know how it is.
It's a nutty place down here, but I want you to have a safe and blessed night, all right?
You too, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the talk.
All right, no problem. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. There you had it. There you have it. I wish the conversation was a bit longer. We're not working with a lot of time. But it's always a blessing. It's always an honor to be able to talk to someone like D.O. Madden from the WWE. It's really not easy to get someone from the WWE on your show. So I'm very thankful to God, number one, that he came on this show tonight. It's still 30 minutes to go in this show. And boy, we got a lot of wrestling to talk about tonight. We want to put some people over a little bit later. We want to start this new segment called You Are Over. You Are Over, which means you're doing something good. We got the nominees are the Dirty Heels podcast. We may put them over tonight. Firefighters who work very hard, who are brave. We may put them over tonight. Also, we may put over, if I can remember in my notes, we're going to put over three amazing callers that support not just Russell Talking to D, but support all the shows that are on this platform. Kayvon Journey, Jason Powell, Stacey Sparkle. So a little bit later, we want to figure out who we're going to put over. So those are the nominees for the night. But right now, I want to pause. I want to talk about something. I want to give WWE their roses right now. I want to give WWE some props because many people, they pooped on the idea of Thunderdome. They pissed on the idea of Thunderdome. They talked a whole lot of trash about Thunderdome before it even appeared. You know, there's so many fans out there that's so negative about the WWE. You know, so many people act as if WWE has never done anything right. And I don't get that. I don't get that way of thinking. As long as I've been watching WWE, they've always tried their best to do things right. They've always tried their best to give us good content. They always try their best to entertain us. And I think Thunderdome is special. Thunderdome is sensational. It's a great thing that WWE is doing, especially because you can't bring physical fans into the arena. You can't have physical fans in the arena. So I got to give the WWE props for taking that risk, for taking that leap of faith and including Thunderdome. Thunderdome makes the wrestling viewing experience entertaining. SmackDown was off the hook because of Thunderdome. SummerSlam was off the hook because of Thunderdome. Raw was off the hook because of Thunderdome. I have no idea if they're going to try that with NXT. I don't think they will. But I'm here to give Vince McMahon, I'm here to give WWE their roses. You know, many people, they're jumping on the AEW bandwagon. And I'm not disrespecting AEW whatsoever. They've jumped on any bandwagon but WWE. And I don't understand this notion that WWE is just this horrible product. I don't get that. I don't see that. Yes, sometimes I disagree with some of the things they do. Like this past Sunday night, I disagree with the fact that Roman Reigns was able to come out and just destroy The Fiend like that. That I disagree. Roman Reigns shouldn't be able to come out and destroy The Fiend. He shouldn't be able to do that. But that's just only one little thing that WWE doesn't get right, in my opinion. Everything else, I think they get right. And Thunderdome is proving that they're doing something right. The phone number is 646-668-8672. 646-668-8672 is the phone number. Feel free to call into Russell Talking to D. We just wrapped up another successful interview with our first ever WWE talent. You know, that's groundbreaking for this platform to have a WWE talent on your show because it's pretty hard to have the WWE release their talent to you. It's a hard thing to do. So I want to thank the WWE for allowing us to talk to Mr. D.O. Madden. But, yeah, what do you want to talk about? What are some of the things you want to talk about pertaining to wrestling? Secondly, I think Nia Jax and the Ace of Spades. If I can get her name in my brain, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I think that's a good pairing. I'm glad WWE went into that direction of putting Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax together. I think that was a perfect partnership. That's a perfect couple, you know. And I think they're going to pick up the victory against Sasha Banks and Bayley this Sunday. You know, it's set up for Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to defeat the Golden Role Models, who, by the way, has been pretty hot for the last few months. And I think everybody has their time where it's time for them to relinquish their top spot, or it's time for them to relinquish their belt. And I think it's time for Bayley to relinquish not just the tag team titles, but that SmackDown championship. I've been on record with saying this. Bayley is doing a heck of a job as a heel. Bayley is doing one of the best jobs I've seen before as a heel. So, all props, all respect to Bayley for the heck of a job she's done as a heel. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our homeboy, Jason. Jason, you're up next on Wrestle Talk. What's up, Jason?
Nothing much. What's up?
Hey, man, nothing much, man. Just sweating bullets, man. Talking wrestling. Very passionate tonight. I'm very impressed with what WWE has been doing as of late. But what do you got to say, brother?
I got to say, I feel like this is a pretty odd pairing, but at the same time, a pretty good pairing with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
Yeah, it's an odd pairing, I agree, but I do think it's a good pairing. I think it's a match made in heaven, if I can use that that phrase. I think the opportunity to really gel and whoever decided to pull the trigger on this, I've got to give them a hand clap, a handshake, or a high five, because I think it's going to turn out to be a successful partnership, and they should win the belts this Sunday night.
Yep. They should. How do you feel about NXT so far?
Honestly, NXT can do no wrong, in my opinion. That Fatal 4-Way 60-man Iron Man match next Tuesday for the championship, I think that's a great idea. I think that's going to be must-see TV. I'm hoping that Finn Balor gets that belt, because it's starting to seem like Finn Balor went there for nothing. Like, Finn Balor has to win that belt.
Yep.
You know? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm loving Rochelle Rodriguez, who's paired up with Dakota Kai. I'm loving her. She's must-see TV. You know, I'm loving Chauncey Blackheart, Robert Stone. There's so many good things NXT is doing, as they always do.
I'm kind of liking like how they're finally giving Breezango a push.
Oh yeah, I was happy that they won those belts last night. They should have won the SmackDown championships a while ago when they were on SmackDown. But I'm happy that they're getting rewarded, because the Fashion Police were super over when they were on SmackDown. But I gotta give them their props. They're doing their thing, and they're doing their thing in NXT, if you will. But Jason, I want to go. Let me pause you. Let me go to the next phone call. This either Coco T. Ware, or this is my man Antoine Maurice Davenport, my brother. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, baby? This is the black man Coco T. Ware.
Yeah.
What's going on with your brother, Montez? It's been too long, baby. Way too long.
it's been way too long. Yeah, I'm honored that you called Wrestle Talking to D, man. We always hear you on a gorilla position, so I'm glad you called this show today. But I'm really excited about wrestling again. You know, for whatever reason, I got a spark in my heart for wrestling again. I don't know why. I'm loving what the WWE is doing with the Thunderdome. I feel like they got great storylines, great pairings going on right now. But how you feeling and what's going on with you in regards to wrestling?
Oh, okay. Let me tell you right now, baby. Let's address this spot that you got, baby. It's because it's something about wrestling. It never dies, baby. It lives, and it lives on forever. So as long as you got breath in your lungs, you're going to always find a reason to love you some wrestling. Let's just make that clear, because wrestling is phenomenal. It's a great escape. It's a great getaway, and it's just what we need in this particular day and time, Daddy. Now, allow me to discuss, if you will, the significance that is SummerSlam, baby. SummerSlam kicked booty all over the place. It was phenomenal. It was one of the best SummerSlams I have seen in a very, very long time.
Ooh.
That one hit right the spot, Daddy. I mean, knocked it clear out the park. I'm really enjoying it. I must say, I was third. Okay, let the black man back up a little bit. Okay, number one, let me just say, I was trying to understand, why is Vince McMahon, my mentor, one of my favorite people, why was he using a subtitle? You'll never see it coming. I kept thinking, okay, why are they pushing this little slogan like this? Sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it. Well, a lot more times I actually hate it for some reason. I was like, it doesn't need that. SummerSlam is a name all by itself. However, there was a method to his madness, baby. And when Roman Reigns popped out, I was shocked, because I was trying to figure out, well, what if Edge had popped up on Randy Orton in his match? I was kind of looking for that, because I figured it had been long enough, he might be healthy. And I bet you he's healthy now, but they're going to wait. I think we'll see him during Survivor Series or maybe at the next World Rumble. Who knows? So anyway, but that really surprised me, and I love that. Plus, number two, all these little conspiracy theories about retribution and who's behind him, who's with him, who's in front of him. And then you got Roman Reigns with this T-shirt. I mean, you're just like, hold on, let's connect these dots, or are they distracting us? And then you saw Brother Miz come out at the last second for the second week in a row. Every time that Retribution comes out and attacks everybody, and then the wrestler comes out, the Miz is our very last one to come out. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I think they're distracting us with Brother Miz. Second of all, this Raw Underground. I'll be honest with you, I ain't feeling it too much. But now with this whole Retribution thing and stuff that's happening, now it's got me wondering, what if Shane O'Mac is the one behind all these shenanigans here? I mean, he's a McMahon, so he cut from the same cloth. Remember back in the day when the higher power was Vince McMahon, and he said it was me, Austin, it was me all along. What if it was Shane? What if it's Shane O'Mac all along, baby? What if he's the one? I mean, think about it. Why is there an underground in the first place? You mean to tell me Retribution ain't a part of that? So I got all that going on in my mind right now.
You're spitting fire right now, man. Like the young folks say, bars, man. You're spitting bars right now. You've opened this investigation all the way up, man. There's so many suspects, man. Who it could be? I didn't think about the Miz. I never thought about the Miz.
Let me hit this one too. Let me hit you on this one too. Think about, okay, I don't know if you watch WWE's The Bump on the WWE Network, but a couple weeks back, Ali was on there. Now, you know they've been trying to push this brother as a super, super baby face. They were saying that he was going to be the one, and then he got hurt, and then brother Kofi Kingston came in, took his spot, and then he became the champion. I'm here to tell you right now, when I was watching and listening to this interview, yes, he's a baby face, and he's saying all this powerful stuff. But I'm here to tell you right now, I do not trust Ali. I don't trust him. I got a weird feeling that this baby face gimmick he's putting in this face, I don't think it's there. I really believe that he's a heel. He's one of the people behind Retribution. Or he may be the leader of the Retribution. Who knows? But I just got a weird, weird feeling. He's still a part of it. He ain't no baby face. I've never seen that out of him. My wrestling years are just kicking in on me now. I'm not feeling good about that.
And then on a side note, you was talking about the tag teams, baby. You was talking about the women's tag team. My Boo Knight Jax teaming up with Shayna Baszler. Let me tell you right now, I don't like that pairing. I don't need nobody taking up my Boo Thang's cloud and her shine. She is a star all by herself. My Boo Knight Jax can do no wrong, daddy. I can't say that around the sensational sweet dinner because she gets real jealous and she got a real problem with that, so I got to be real careful about that. And you've seen her in action, daddy. You've seen her in action. But let me tell you now, my Boo Knight Jax does not need to be teamed up with that submission specialist. She's just going to get in the way. She's going to ruin things. My Boo deserves to be and stay on the top, daddy. Let me tell you that right now. She is the best. She is the finest. She is the strongest. She is the real EXT, EST of WWE, daddy. Let me tell you that right now. That's who I believe. Ooh. So, anyway, I think the golden role models, I think they eke out, they find a way to win. I think Nia and that Shayna, they're going to bump heads to where they start fighting and feuding each other all over. I got a feeling that's what's going to happen. I don't want to see them become tag team champions because I said before, my Boo deserves better. She is a single performer. If you're going to be with her, she must take the lead. Let me tell you that right now.
I agree with a lot of things you say. I really do. You know, I just want Nia to have a belt because I don't think she's not gonna have that women's title not too soon because I felt like they would have gave it to her when she first came back. So I think they're doing her a favor or whatever by giving her the tag team titles because I do think they're gonna pick up the victory this Sunday because I think they're trying to dismantle Sasha and Bayley. And this is going to be part of the dismantling of Sasha and Bayley by losing these belts. And then Sasha and Bayley, therefore, are going to fight for that lone SmackDown Women's title. I think it's all set up to for a Sasha and Bayley matchup. And them losing the titles this Sunday will be one of the beginning factors in this.
That is very plausible. But let me tell you this. Here's what I think is going to happen. I'm going to flip the game. Okay, so if you remember a couple weeks back,
right,
Shayna was behind the scenes backstage with her two buddies, Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. I'm amazed I can remember their names now because they're not that memorable to me. But I smell this four horsewomen feud brewing. I just got a weird little feeling. They're slow rolling it. But I just think I think they're gonna be bumping heads, both Bayley and Sasha. But I think what's gonna happen here is they're gonna keep bumping heads, but I think it's gonna be disrupted because I think eventually it will be disrupted between Charlotte and when Becky comes back from having a little bambina, that baby's gonna have wrestling all in their DNA. Let me tell you that right now. But when they come back together, when she comes back, I think they're going to form this up. I mean, it's going to be a long road between now and 2022. But I have a weird feeling. They're trying to set this whole four horsewomen thing up. This is really the backdrop. It ain't going to be about really so much about Sasha and Bayley feuding when we look back in the future. It's going to be like, this was the build-up to this four horsewomen, which, by the way, I wish they would come up with another name. It just the four horsewomen just don't have a good ring to it. It nothing touch the four horsemen, baby. Let me tell you that right now.
I'm not really a fan of using somebody else's name for your gimmick or whatever. I'm not a fan of that. Even though it's four horsewomen, but I'm not a fan. Like four horsemen should be left with the four horsemen. But that's neither here nor there. But you bring up a good point. And I feel if Bayley didn't get pregnant, that this four horsemen versus four horsemen would be set up for Survivor Series.
Yeah, I
really do believe. Because I think that's Ronda Rousey was just getting ready to come back.
Yep, she's getting ready to come back, that's for sure. It's a long road, but I think they're waiting for the perfect time for her to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're waiting till Royal Rumble. Maybe they wait till close to WrestleMania. I'm really not sure, but that's all coming in a brewing.
Coco,
yes,
the
sir.
Fact that they have some sort of a crowd now, we're going to see anybody and everybody return, in my opinion. You know, Roman Reigns wouldn't have showed up if it wasn't for Thunderdome. That's just my opinion. big returns need a big reaction. You fans to give you a big reaction. AEW is starting to bring in physical people, first hands into their ring. WWE is doing the Thunderdome. So I would expect more big names to show up soon because of the fan interaction now in the arenas. Coco, I gotta let you go because I'm getting ready to end this show. I want to thank you for calling, man. I always love when you call the show, but I appreciate the support.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure, brother. Y'all take care.
All right, man. We reached a point in time in the show. We want to put some people over, okay? We want to put some people over. The nominees for the first ever You Are Over Award are the Dirty Heels podcast, because I think this is on this platform, but I think it's a good, interesting, unique podcast, and you definitely should listen to it. Dirty Heels, it may be your cup of tea, it may not be your cup of tea, but I wanted to nominate them because I think they're doing a good thing. The second nominee is Firefighters. But firefighters, you know, they really risk their lives, as we know, to save people on a regular basis. I mean, these people are going into burning buildings just to save people. So firefighters, they may be put over today. The third nominee today is the super fans, as Macho Ghost will call it. Coco T. Ware, Jason, Macho Ghost. No, not Macho Ghost. Stacy, Kayvon. Tyrese, these are the super fans that call this platform on a regular basis. You guys are the nominees as well. Okay, but only one group or one person can win. And the winner of the You Are Over Award for the day is, and it goes to the super fans, Coco, Jason, Stacy, and Kayvon, and Tyrese. I want to thank you all for always supporting this show, always supporting the other shows, and you are over today. And more and more people should put you over, because you four are special people. You four are amazing people, and thank you for always supporting. All right, everybody, that concludes the show. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast is coming up tonight at 6:30 Eastern Time. That's with the Southwest Texan and Greg the Mark. And at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Gorilla Position with Steve Aaron and the Macho Ghost. And Kim Shamrock is supposed to make his debut on the show tonight. So we look forward to Kim Shamrock coming on the Gorilla Position tonight. For everybody that's listening, stay away from negativity, okay? Negativity may be coming from your family. It may be coming from your friends. It may be coming from that TV. Stay away from negativity, because there's not enough positive things going on in this world, and there's not enough people promoting positivity. But I'm going to promote positivity on Wrestle Talk and Indeed. I'm not going to be like everybody else and be negative and this, that, and third. I want you all to stay in a positive atmosphere and have a blessed night. This has been Wrestle Talking with D with Martez. Talk to you.